Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. A new week. Bob Getty, Kelly Santer. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Sure appreciate Southern Bancorp for all they do for our program. Great place to do your banking. They're in Midtown, Hattiesburg, and we really appreciate their support of our program. Now, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Many of you find the show that way. We're grateful to you for that as well. However you find us, we're just glad that you tune in. All right, Scott Watkins writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Hadn't had Scott on the show in a while. Glad to have him back on today. And Scott, welcome back. Of course, we just heard in that news break that Keith Gill from the Sun Belt makes the official announcement that Texas State will be leaving for the revamping Pac-12. I guess my first question to you this afternoon is, how big a loss, big, small, indifferent, do you think losing Texas State will be for the Sun Belt?
I think the loss is kind of based on projection because Texas State is a school that you've always seen over the last 10 years as, you know, this is the sleeping giant of the Sun Belt. We never really saw it wake up, though. And so it's kind of hard to say, it's kind of hard to quantify what that loss is. You saw kind of glimpses of it over the last couple of years, at least within the football program. But is it ever going to wake up? Maybe the Pac-12, the money is what it needs. You know, maybe it's one of those change of scenery things. As far as what it has brought to the table so far, maybe not immediately replaceable, but I wouldn't say that it is, you know, the end of the world for the Sun Belt. It's not losing App State. It's not losing James Madison. It's not losing Marshall. It's not losing a big name. It's losing Texas State.
Correct. And from a geographical standpoint, I almost think it's a positive. I mean, if you look at the footprint of the Sun Belt, you look way to the west is Texas State. It just geographically doesn't make a ton of sense. Is that fair to say?
They've always been an outlier. It's always been hard to find that rival within the league. That's been a conversation that I know they've had internally for a long time. They don't really have a travel partner. They had to get that series going with UTSA just to kind of build something at home. They never really formed any type of bond with anybody within the league. And so this does tighten the footprint a little bit, and I think that's a plus and that's a win. I don't know for Texas State. It's a win for the Sun Belt. Texas State has a lot of travel in its future for sure.
All right, Kelly, before we move on to who might replace them, your thoughts about that and any question in that regard you may have for Scott.
Scott, Keith Gill did not mention anything about a potential replacement, but I've heard from a lot of people who think that it's important that somewhere in the state of Texas that there is a Sun Belt team rather than adding potentially another team from Alabama, Louisiana, or even going up to Kentucky. What say you about replacing a Texas school with a Texas school?
I don't know about the feasibility of that. I don't know where they go to do that. I'm not sure who in the American is willing to jump. I think what happens is, especially now that a Sun Belt athletic director is on record saying, I think this is going to happen, the conversation might be moot. I mean, Louisiana Tech seems like it's just an inevitability. So what's probably going to happen is La Tech will end up in the Sun Belt, and you'll have a new Texas school in Conference USA. That's how I see it playing out.
And is there any chance as we're hearing that that there's starting to have some rumor and clamoring down in the southwestern part of the state of Louisiana that the Pac-12 would come after the Cajuns of Louisiana?
I don't know. That would surprise me. I know that I've been reading around today. There doesn't seem to be a lot of internal noise that the Pac-12 is ready to, you know, push forward and keep adding more members, especially with the walls that they've run into in this process, especially with the names like Memphis and Tulane, those being huge sticking points for them. I'm not sure how hard they continue to push in the short term. How this plays out in long term, who knows? We'll see. But I think for right now, I think they're going to sit tight.
I think, you know, you think of schools like Texas State, and Kelly brings up Louisiana, and we don't know if there's anything to that, but just to use that as an example. And you tend to think in terms of football. But, you know, Scott, realistically, you have to fly the girls' volleyball team and the girls' golf team now to Oregon State and
Pullman, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, how is that even feasible or practical in any sense for a school the size of the schools within the Sun Belt Conference? It would seem to me that whatever you gain in royalty money or conference money, you're going to lose in expenses.
Right, and on top of that, now you have a quote-unquote salary cap hanging over everybody's head, and that's already resulted in, I think I read this just the other day, about 20 tennis programs across the country have been shut down, in the last month or whatever, just because of that alone. So you throw in the travel aspect of it, and it absolutely is going to put a strain on some finances. Texas State clearly has a plan. I hope it works out for them.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, Texas State women's basketball against Oregon State is not gonna justify flying from San Marcos, Texas to Oregon. Am I right, Kelly?
You wouldn't think so.
You know, to play in front of 500 people.
But you're going to have to do that.
Of course you are.
So yeah. So in the number crunching, I don't know what the deal is that Pac-12 is going to offer them, but it had to have been sweet enough, because obviously it's the easiest thing is just to sit tight.
Yeah.
But it had to have been financially lucrative enough to where they felt it was worth it.
Yeah. All right, Scott, you seem to think Louisiana Tech is the team that's coming into the Sun Belt. What's your view about what Louisiana Tech offers the Sun Belt Conference?
There's definitely the travel aspect of it. You tighten up the Western Division even more. You have a bunch of schools all within travel distance. You have a history that's all right there, a rivalry history that is especially nasty. I know there's multiple schools within the Sun Belt that do not like Louisiana Tech. As far as the actual athletics go, I am not completely sold on it, but you know, the options, they aren't plentiful, they aren't bountiful right now. Louisiana Tech has tapered off in football. You know, they got thrown into a league with New Mexico State and Sam Houston and Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. They improved from 3-9 to 5-8. In basketball, they've tapered off. In baseball, they've tapered off. And if you look at everything, athletics kind of hit a wall the moment that NIL opened up.
That's exactly
it's fallen off the cliff from there.
And that's exactly why, Scott, that when people bring up Middle Tennessee, I just go, no, please, no Middle Tennessee. They have not been good for a long period of time and then across just about every sport. Mm-hmm. So please, if you base it on success, Middle Tennessee brings nothing to the table.
And Scott, you think Western Kentucky is out of the picture?
I've always seen Western Kentucky as a school that is not going to skip town without Middle Tennessee.
Really? That's interesting. Interesting. Louisiana Tech, what do you think? We had always heard that the other schools, Monroe and Louisiana, would be really opposed to that. But I think I saw where the Louisiana Monroe AD actually spoke publicly about that last week and encouraged the league to do that. So you think the two other Louisiana schools are good with Tech coming into the league?
You know, not only encouraged it, he said he expected it. And I think that, you know, we've seen these situations already play out. Where Texas A&M would never let Texas in this league. Unanimous vote. It doesn't matter. The feelings don't matter. What's going to happen is that everybody in the Sun Belt is going to collectively, it's going to be 13-0, yes, bring in Louisiana Tech.
And what do you think we're looking at from a timetable standpoint?
I don't know how fast the Sun Belt is going to jump on this. It is going to depend on a lot on what the timing is on the Louisiana Tech side and what the Sun Belt can do to help Tech. I don't know what Conference USA's restructured buyout plan looks like after the last go around. They sued me last time, so I don't want to get in, I don't feel like throwing myself into that again. So it's gonna be dependent on that situation over there.
I'm not laughing at you, Scott. I'm laughing with you. I'm laughing when they sued me.
You know, interesting that he brought up Jacksonville State because no one else has, and I know it was just kind of an example, but nobody else has ever brought up Jacksonville State, and that wouldn't be that far of a geographic push. And there's a school that really has been on the upswing athletically.
And we're talking to Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Hang around a few more minutes with us, Scott.
Yep.
Going to get Scott's thoughts about his alma mater being snubbed by the NCAA in baseball, which we all thought was wrong, and to talk a little more Sun Belt sports with Scott Watkins.
And I want to ask him about the redesigned hockey operation. Won't spend a lot of time on it, but in going on down on the Gulf Coast.
All right. Don't forget about Mo Baby J Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. Better still, go get some hot beignets this weekend or tonight, even work would work. How about a cold coffee and a hot beignet, Kelly? Does that work for you?
And the beignets, they're making them fresh and just heating them up by setting them out on the sidewalk.
They could. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Bob and Kelly with you this afternoon in the Southern Bancorp studio. We're glad you're tuned in. This segment of the program sponsored by our wonderful friends at Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street, Miss Kathleen and her crew, campusbookmart.net. All kinds of beautiful summer Southern Miss apparel in stock right now, so be sure you check it out at Campus Book Mart. And while you're out, go buy yourself a new car at Genesis of Hattiesburg. I wish I could. The official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road today. You can visit their all-new showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And really appreciate Kevin Mullins, Mr. Grubbs, and all those great folks at the Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, Kelly, read that statement before we go back to Scott that was released by the conference commissioner today.
I'm quoting here, with Texas State's recent announcement of its planned departure from the Sun Belt Conference, I want to personally take a moment to thank the Bobcat staff at Texas State for their collaboration and leadership through a transformative era in college athletics, from the COVID-19 pandemic to name, image, and likeness to the most recent round of realignment. Since expanding to a 14 playing team member conference, the Sun Belt has experienced the best three-year stretch in the conference's nearly 50-year history. Over the span, the league has led all non-autonomy conferences in football postseason representation for three straight years, including leading the nation with 12 bowl teams in 2023, set a conference record. Anyway, he goes and talks about all that. than the last couple of lines. I will continue to update our stakeholders on developments whenever possible as we work to ensure the sustained rise of the Sun Belt Conference, a collective like-minded regional rivals with winning football traditions, passionate fan bases, and enduring commitments to the excellence in all sports. The Sun Belt Conference is rising, and our best days are ahead. End quote.
All right, Scott, I guess that's basically just a political statement. Interesting that he only talks about football when that's not the league's strongest sport. Is that fair to say?
It is interesting, but it also is a sport that drives the revenue, so that's always going to be on the front porch.
Right. All right, now speaking of baseball, which we're going to segue right into baseball, first let me ask you this. If Louisiana Tech comes, I think that's another solid baseball program in the league. There's certainly nothing wrong with the Tech baseball program.
Yeah, you know, they did have a 40-win season a couple years ago that has been sandwiched by two somewhat disappointing seasons. When I see that and I see all the other sports and I see that the timing of the drop-off that they've had in every sport, it does concern me a little bit. I want to know, I know absolutely nothing about what the collective situation is over there, how they're going to handle all this new salary stuff. I don't know. But what kind of shape are they in to compete? Now, with basketball, I almost feel like men's basketball, they're going to have that's where their biggest impact is going to be made. Not because that's what they're the best at. That's because it's what the Sun Belt is the worst at. Both of their last two teams would be among the three best in the Sun Belt over the last two seasons. So yikes. I think that is actually where the biggest impact is going to be.
Yikes. All right, let's switch to baseball for just a minute. It was a really weird year, I thought, for the Sun Belt in the respect that the league gets two host sites, which is excellent, right? But only two teams out of the entire league are in the tournament. That could only happen to a league outside of the SEC, right? That your only teams.
Absolutely.
I mean, because you got to make room for the 15 or 20 SEC teams every year. But I'll regress from that. In the effort to pile the tournament with SEC teams, one Sun Belt team, this is Bob Getty's view, that really got screwed is your alma mater, Troy. Troy, I do realize Troy got swept by Southern Miss at the end of the season, and Troy struggled toward the end of the year. But Troy was a very high-caliber college baseball team, ranked in the top 25 all year. They get left out, and a barely 500 Kentucky team from the SEC gets in the league. It had to be frustrating to alumni like you and certainly to the university.
Yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow. Absolutely. That's never the way you want to see things go. It is very hard to look at, you know, like you just said, you pick two schools out of the same league, you put them in the top 16, and you say nobody else in that league that played, you know, those teams deserves to be anywhere in the picture. That is really hard to fathom, especially when you have a team like Troy that gets to about 40 wins. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. But at the same time, you can't finish the season the way that they did. You can't start the season the way that they did. But it's a very difficult situation. I think lessons are learned. And, you know, I hope the best for the league as a whole next year.
You made a really interesting point, I thought, off air with me. And we compared Southern Miss and Troy in this respect. Southern Miss, in part, got a regional. Now, they were hot at the end of the year, I get that. But I believe in part of the reason they got the regional was the strength of their non-conference schedule. You agreed with that, and you said that played the opposite role for Troy in the end. You thought that hurt them.
Yeah, I thought that they played a lot of games that beefed up the win column but did not beef up the SOS at all. They played a very, very easy February schedule. Very easy. In baseball, the way college baseball works, especially for a program like the Sun Belt, within the Sun Belt, you have to schedule tough. Just one series. Schedule one tough series that challenges you, and then play power programs throughout the midweeks, throughout the rest of the year. They will not hurt you if you lose those games. Look at how they treat those SEC teams. Look at how they treat those SOSs. You lose to that team, nothing bad happens to you. If you beat that team, something very good happens to you. The numbers go up. It is a win-win. There's no loss situation. You have got to go play somebody good. Southern Miss goes to TCU, plays three games. They could have lost two of them. They probably still would have hosted. Mm-hmm. Go and play one of those programs, and nothing bad can happen to you.
All right, so let's talk about football now, Scott Watkins. At the end of this month, specifically July 22nd and July 23rd, as tomorrow will be the 1st of July, Media Day for Sun Belt football will take place in New Orleans. A lot of anticipation with Coach Charles Huff in his first year here at Southern Miss. I know you're probably starting to think about it if you haven't already. Is this optimism just a natural fan reaction, or is there a legitimate reason why Southern Miss fans should be drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak?
Yeah, there is an element to natural reaction of it. I think, you know, you could go 1-11 in the next year. Around June, July, August, you're going to be, you know, gung-ho 12-0. But I think there is real reason. I mean, this isn't Southern Miss. I mean, you've replaced 85, 90 players from a team that won one game. That team does not exist anymore. It physically does not exist. There's not a shred of that team anywhere to be found in Hattiesburg. So I think there's plenty of reason for optimism, especially in a West division that is under no type of control by anybody. So everything is wide open. You've got a quarterback that has not lost a single game that he has started. You've got a corner that is among the very best, if not the best, coverage corner in the entire in all of FBS. You've got a defensive coordinator that has succeeded at a high level. You've got an OC that has been the head coach in this league that has ran your offense before. I think there's plenty of reason to drink the Kool-Aid, the whole thing.
Okay, so what do we know? When you look at the Southern Miss roster, you go to the website at southernmiss.com, a lot of the players don't even have their pictures on there because it's so transitional now. You literally don't know necessarily from week to week who's going to be on the team. So the quarterback position, that is well noted. We've talked about how important it is to have a quarterback even at the peewee level. But other than that, the offense and defense, particular strengths, weaknesses, if any?
Yeah, I think that offensively, you know, the strength is going to be at quarterback. There are going to be question marks as far as how the offensive line is pieced together exactly. I think you have a lot of guys that play a lot of different positions, and they're moving guys around, and you got to find the right five. I think there are enough bodies there. You've got to get healthy at running back. There are very good running backs on the roster. Almost none of them were healthy over the spring. And then, of course, at wide receiver, you have a lot of unknowns. You have a lot of guys that had been the wide receiver two, the wide receiver three. Who's going to stand out as a wide receiver one? But you have guys there. You have bodies there. You have bodies that have played and played good college football. This isn't like the last few years where we've got guys that have experience. No, they have good experience. They were good where they came from. They succeeded. So that's the good. That's the positive. But there are definitely some questions to be answered still.
I know we're going into commercial break, Bob, but I have one more question. Maybe after the break, if we can just hold him one more second.
Can you hang on just a few more minutes, Scott? No, I think he's one more question, then I promise we'll let you go.
For sure.
All right, going to continue our conversation with Scott Watkins from the Sun Herald. As we hit the break, don't forget about Be Quick. They're celebrating their 60th anniversary. Great giveaways. Go by, get that Buffalo decal. Stick it in the back window of your car. If a spotter finds you, you could win great prizes like a Saints football experience, a Mossy Oak shopping spree, Royal Caribbean cruise for four. I'm down for that one. Or a Biloxi offshore fishing trip. Proud supporters of Southern Miss Be Quick, celebrating their 60th anniversary. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
MCS Home Center is a great place to go. Anytime you've got a weekend project at your house, whether you're expanding a room, maybe remodeling, painting, working in your lawn, working in your garden, whatever you need, MCS Home Center has it. They're located at 7329 US 98 in Hattiesburg. It is a beautiful facility, lots and lots of merchandise and a great staff eager to have you visit with them. 7329 US 98 out in Bellevue, MCS Home Center.
I bet they've got a lot of July 4th stuff, you know, flags and,
no question. Yard barbecue ornaments. Stuff, yeah. What have you. All right, also 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsoring this segment of the Eagle Hour as we continue our conversation. Kelly had one more question he wanted to run by Scott Watkins down at the Sun Herald. So go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, and from your reaction, Scott, I can tell you're thrilled to death. this is a Southern Miss show. We'll get back to it in a minute. But while we have you here, the Mississippi Seawolves, hockey fans that go to Hattiesburg and Laurel that go down to the coast for an occasional hockey game, the Mississippi Seawolves have been what that team has been known as the past many years, but now they've rebranded. They're going to be called the Biloxi Breakers. They have changed their team colors. Is there any reason, as bad as the team has been on the ice and, frankly, off the ice the last two or three years, is this rebranding of the Biloxi Breakers, changing the colors, should we get a sense that there's going to be wholesale change with the way that this team is operated going forward?
Wholesale change? I think there's been wholesale change on the operation front on about a month-to-month basis since this whole thing started a few years ago. We've had three seasons. They're on head coach number seven. That's amazing. Honestly, that's so impressive. They're under new ownership. Their last owner owned two other teams in the same league as them. I don't know about this owner. I don't know. This is just switching it up a little bit. Going from a very unique name to like the most average hockey expansion name ever, and just trying to see if it works.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And I know we kind of joke about hockey, but they really get good crowds down there comparatively speaking. Otherwise, they would close the doors. But there was talk that the Coast Coliseum wasn't real happy about having the hockey team there, but they're back again for another season, so there's got to be enough money, I guess, to go around. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah, the Mississippi Seawolves are now the Biloxi Breakers. We'll see if it means anything in the win-loss column next year.
And speaking of teams down on the coast, how do the Shuckers do with attendance, Scott?
Real bad. Real bad. The only – I think last year the only team worse in all of AA was the Mississippi Braves.
Right? But to me, it has to do with the weather. It has to, because
I think so. You know, the last game I went to, we could not see the game because of the amount of gnats in front of our face.
Well, plus it's still about 90.
We got to get him on the show more. He's great.
He's so optimistic, isn't he? Yeah. Come on, get off the bridge, Scott. Get off the bridge. But 90-degree temperatures don't help either, even at 6 o'clock
terrible.
At night.
It's tough. They've done great things at the park. They've done great things to make it a funner experience. But, yes, it is tough to get through a night down there.
And how much of that is that Mississippi is in love with college baseball, Scott?
I do think there's a part of it, because, I mean, you're not alone when you're the Shuckers. You had, I mean, the two worst attended teams in all AA, they're both in Mississippi. I think that tells you something.
I think that's right. And the three Mississippi Division I schools are in the top 10 every year in attendance,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of illustrates everything.
They get
right
baseballed
there.
Out by then, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, we really appreciate the extended time, man. We always enjoy having you on the show, and we're going to make a habit of getting you on more frequently.
Absolutely. Just making up for lost time.
There we go. Thank you, Scott. Scott Watkins, everybody, Biloxi Sun Herald. I like him, man. I think that paper has always done a really good job. Going back to Patrick McGee, that paper, more than any in the state, more than the Hattiesburg Friggin' American, does a really good job of covering Southern Miss sports.
And Scott is unique as a young journalist. Lots of times I have found, so I'm putting this on me, that a lot of the younger journalists are afraid to say anything for fear that they'll hurt somebody's feelings.
That's not Scott.
No. But this younger generation, they've been raised in such an antiseptic environment that they're afraid that somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. So they don't say anything. Not Scott, boy. He'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking off the air. I said, so it sounds like to me that this name change with the Mississippi Seawolves is just putting lipstick on a pig. And he said, yep.
So, do you think it's going to change anything? Nope.
Hope it does, because the fans deserve better. I'll tell you that.
I got to tell you, that seems like a hard sell to me. I could be wrong.
No, and there are a lot of people that think that. But if you go down there and see that they're averaging, you know, 3,500 people a game, and people have a great time. Even, and this has been a team that's been terrible the last couple of years, and the fans are still turning out. So the games are a lot of fun to go to.
Where do they get the ice rink? I mean, what do they do? Do they freeze the water every time they get ready to play?
Yeah, well, the Coliseum, when it was built with that ability to do that. It's cement, and there are pipes underneath the cement. They flood it with water, turn on the pipes, which make that water cold, and they freeze it, and that's how it works. But the games really are. You and Angela would have fun at a hockey game.
I could never get Angela to go to a hockey. Are you kidding me?
I think she'd enjoy it.
Outside of baseball, Angela's not going to a sporting event. Okay. Now, they could practice this afternoon at 3:30, and she'd go watch them practice baseball. But
and they don't play until next February.
Correct. Well, we go to fall baseball practice. I mean, at our house. Okay. We do that. We've had more than one trip to a fall baseball practice.
I was interested to hear what Scott had to say about the optimism around the football program, because I think to a degree it's still an enigma, this football team. What really do you have? Because like I said, if you go to southernmiss.com and you click on the roster and you scroll down, there's a lot of kids that their names are listed, but there's no pictures of them. You know, so we know obviously the large influx of kids that came from Marshall. And we know about what they can do. Mm-hmm. And we know about this talented coaching staff that Coach Huff has put together. But I think that there is going to be a little bit of a shroud of mystery around this team, because Coach Huff has been old school in the sense that, you know, not a lot of player interviews, not a lot of interaction.
Not a lot.
With coaches.
Not a lot.
So really, what do you have? I think it'll be...
Well, let's just be honest, and before the critics start, the fact is, it's difficult to say, because there really is no communication between the football program and the media. Very, very, very little.
And I think once the season starts, it will probably be limited.
I don't think there's any question. I think we've already been put on notice about that. Not we, me and you, the media in general.
So when Media Day comes up on July 20th.
Great question to ask, won't it be, Kelly Sanders?
And we'll find out probably more then than we're going to find out the rest of the year. And that's going to take place July 22nd and 23rd in downtown New Orleans. And the Western Division will go on the 22nd, the way they do it. And then the Eastern Division on the 23rd. And we at the Eagle Hour will be there both days filing reports. Because it is right around the corner.
Let's jump back to this Louisiana Tech thing. Louisiana Tech brings a lot of familiarity, of course, back to the Southern Miss fan base. And I'm one that thinks that's a good move. I mean, I personally, from the standpoint of being a Southern Miss fan, I would much rather see Louisiana Tech in the league than Texas State. I mean, there's more to be interested in in my view, when Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech compete in athletics than when you're competing with Texas State, which reminded me always of when the school was in the Sun Belt. And I mean, how in the world did you get excited about Florida International, you know, being here? I mean, how did you get really that excited about Texas State, which is basically on the other side of the country?
And Texas State was supposed to be, in the words of the first George Bush, that shining city upon a hill. They were brought into the league to kind of be the torchbearer in the Western Division in all sports.
And they never did. Scott made a good point about that. That never materialized.
It sure didn't. And I think that was extremely disappointing. And I think that might have been part of the reason why the Sun Belt didn't fight necessarily very hard to keep them.
Remember how great and mighty their football team was going to be last year.
And they have an enrollment of, you know, 50,000 students, and it's, you know, all that they brought to the table. And they were average, above average, but and the softball team, to be fair, won the league this year. But they just have not been that juggernaut in sports that I think everybody thought they were going to be.
So we feel like it's going to be Louisiana Tech. I think at this point there doesn't seem to be a great deal of debate about that.
Yeah, and we originally kind of thought that Monroe and Lafayette would both be opposed to it, but really it was more, our sources kind of told us it was more really inside the Sun Belt because, you know, Tech was in the Sun Belt before, and there were some feelings that when they left to go to Conference USA that they had burned quite a few planks on that bridge and just didn't know if they were ever reparable. Well, obviously, if this comes to fruition, that bridge has been repaired, and they're getting ready to come back into the family.
Is that the same bridge our friends will be jumping off of if the Golden Eagles don't win their first five football games?
The very same.
That they're still recovering bodies from losing a baseball game. Yes, okay.
Takes a long net now.
But. Yeah. Well, we're getting the bridge ready for football season because we know there'll be some suicides there for sure. All right, we'll wrap up this Monday edition of the program next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Scott Watkins from down on the Gulf Coast, Biloxi Sun-Herald. Great young sports reporter, I think, Kelly. Does a really good job of covering stuff down there. We really appreciate Scott being on the program. This segment of the show is sponsored by DBAT. We got to get Luke Reynolds out here. He manages DBAT on Hardy Street. And that's a great place for summer baseball and softball camps. Also, off-season training. Get down there and get out of the heat of the day. Get in those batting cages down there and get yourself ready for baseball and softball. DBAT on Hardy Street, really grateful to them for their longtime support of the Eagle Hour. We do really appreciate that very much. And I do want to remind you again about our podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. In a world, Kelly, where everybody and their nephew's grandchild has a podcast, we're going to have a guy on the show tomorrow that I think really does do a really good job of reporting Southern Miss sports on the internet. Right.
And Glenn Dyer will be here tomorrow, and we'll be interested to get his perspective as he's now starting to get ready for football.
Right.
You know, Bob, to put some questions and answers to bed here as far as Texas State goes. The Board of Regents at Texas did vote to authorize a $5 million buyout. It would have been a $10 million buyout until tomorrow. So tomorrow, July 1st, it goes down to a $5 million buyout. So they're going to pay that to the Sun Belt Conference, and the Bobcats will remain in the Sun Belt this coming academic year. So 25-26, they are going to still be in the Sun Belt. They will then join the Pac-12 in all sports in 26-27.
At the end of baseball next year, correct?
Correct. Okay. And the 2026 Pac-12, as it stands right now,
this is stunning. This is stunning.
Will feature Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Oregon State, San Diego State, Texas State, Utah State, and Washington State. They should have just called it the state, Conference.
The SAIC Conference.
And now Gonzaga will be there for Gonzaga doesn't have football, but Gonzaga will definitely help them in basketball for sure. But that as it stands now, will be the Pac-12 Conference in 2026. What the Sun Belt will look like, I mean, if everything that we're hearing, although you're not hearing anything official from Louisiana Tech or the Sun Belt, for that matter, would there be any reason that Louisiana Tech would not leave Conference USA?
No. I mean, I think anybody would leave Conference USA running as hard as they could run. Yes. Oh, yes.
And then what about Jacksonville State? Bob, wouldn't they at least deserve a sniff, you think?
I mean, I wouldn't care, but apparently they're not interested. I think they're only going to add one, right? That would be Louisiana. I'm going to tell you this. I think the Sun Belt Conference, as it exists today, is a better league than what you just described right there.
Now, all of those schools, enrollment-wise,
I'm talking about athletically, you know, from the standpoint of athletic teams that you put on the field. And it's sort of a shame because, you know, the Pac-10 at one time was really an iconic, great conference of college athletics. I mean, it had some of the great schools in the western part of America.
And their football champions would always play the Midwestern Big Ten champion.
What was wrong with tradition like that, Kelly?
The Rose Bowl was great, but now a lot of those teams are in the same league playing each other in the regular season.
Yeah.
So there's no rhyme or reason anymore
You agree with that, right?
Oh, I do.
The Rose Bowl was an American tradition.
And you knew it was the Big Ten champion against the Pac-10 champion.
It was a big-time game, too. It was big time.
The granddaddy of them all is what they used to call it.
That's kind of a shame. But anyway, needless to say, man, the Pac-10 has just fallen on hard times.
One of the things that I really want to talk to Keith Gill about, I think that's the interview that I always look forward to the most at Media Day, because clearly something's got to give with basketball. And earlier, Scott Watkins mentioned it. He said the Sun Belt, basketball-wise, is just a dumpster fire. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's not my job to be. But they have got to wave a magic wand somehow and figure out what they're going to do to improve the strength of basketball in the Sun Belt, because basketball, because the roster sizes are so small, NIL can make a big difference. And I don't know if some of these schools are going to, logically, you'd think some of these schools have got to start coughing up some money and getting some players in there. But as a conference, football, they do have a lot of bowl tie-ins. Baseball, they're competitive, but basketball is just not good.
That can be a very lucrative sport financially.
Yeah, because your overhead is smaller than any other sport.
I've been told you make the NCAA tournament, get a couple rounds in the tournament, you get big checks for years.
And how far that could go.
Yeah.
So I'll be in. And this is not a new subject that he's had to deal with. But if anything, the conference keeps getting weaker in basketball, not stronger.
Correct.
So it's a tough problem that they've got to figure out.
All right. We've got Monday in the books. Friday will be a special show, being the 4th of July. And tomorrow we've got a good show. A really good sports journalist on the show with us tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you, as always, for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.